from the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com, our buddy Aaron Settles. Aaron, how you doing, man?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm sorry. Apologize. I'm on the road today in a little bit different setup, so I apologize. Not able to hear you right there out of the gate, but we got you now, and it's good to see you in the press box. I'm sorry we don't get to visit longer in person, but appreciate you coming on each week with us. And this is a fun week. I know Nick Saban, you know, told me after the game on Saturday that the challenge is to make sure that this week is no different than any other. For his team, but I know for those of us that follow a college football team such as Alabama, these are certainly more enjoyable, aren't they?
Yeah, certainly. You know, one of the first things that Nick Saban said during his Monday press conference is that he was kind of imploring the fans to be there for the full game, to be involved in the game. So from that aspect, he realizes it's not. I mean, it's a different atmosphere he wants than they've had so far through three games. And even by that, you can tell. I mean, I know it's kind of cliche for coaches to say, you know, no game's different, but even from his statement there, you can tell this week is different. The fans are going to certainly treat it differently because it's Florida. It's a traditional power, you know, the last 20, 25 years in the SEC. It's a home game. It's the CBS nationally televised audience game. So while coaches will say we try not to treat any games differently, the players recognize that it's Florida on the jerseys across from them. The fans realize that it's a big game, and whether he admits it or not, Nick Saban knows it too.
The matchup between Vernon Hargraves and Amari Cooper, that's where most people start. I'm going to guess you do as well when you start looking at this one.
I think that's the marquee matchup, and in so many ways it's very similar, you know, to the 2009-2010 matchups between Julio Jones and Patrick Peterson from LSU. One of the best offensive players in the country versus one of the best defensive players in the country. And I don't know what specifically Florida's going to game plan, but I would imagine that Vernon would be matched up with Amari a lot. And from, you know, just a pure football fan perspective, that's got to be exciting to watch because I don't think the game plan's going to change for Alabama. You know, Leopard doesn't change its spots, and Lane Kiffin is a guy that features his best players. And that's not, I mean, certainly you'd probably like a little more balance spread out so Amari's not taking the lion's share and dominating the receiving stats, but there's a reason he keeps getting the ball. And the main reason is because he's open, because he's that good. And two, you know, Lane Kiffin wants to get his guys involved in the game early and stay involved. So how Florida limits that and what else it opens up in the Alabama offense is going to be really fascinating to watch Saturday afternoon.
Am I wrong in saying that it would have been really foolish of Blake Sims and Alabama to not get the ball to number nine as much as they have if that's sitting there available to you? I mean, to me, I drew this comparison in my last segment, that it would be the equivalent of Georgia not giving the ball to Todd Gurley. That's your playmaker. Get it in his hands as much as you can.
I absolutely agree. And if there's something you can knock Alabama throughout its history is that, you know, they've never really been big on individual success. I mean, if you look back over the history of the program, they probably could have won a lot more Lombardi trophies and Buckus awards and Biletnikoffs and on all those individual awards, but they're just not into what you would call loading the stat sheet for one guy. And I don't necessarily think that's the intent here with Amari Cooper, but they realize this guy's a mismatch against probably every team we're going to play again. And it's just kind of Lane Kiffin's forte as a play caller to feature his main guy. So it would be foolish not to. I mean, he's open. It's not like they're forcing the ball to him. He's open. You know, if they're forcing it into double coverage, that's one thing. Then you need to take what the defense gives you and read the coverage. But that's not the case here because Amari is so good. And even Coach Saban said it during his Monday press conference that he's kind of the complete package. He's a big, strong guy, so he's hard to jam at the line of scrimmage. He's quick, and he's fast, and he comes out of his release on his breaks very well. So all that combined makes him a pretty much a nightmare to defend.
Aaron Settles covers Alabama for the Tuscaloosa News and online at TideSports.com. Kind enough to join us on our Bud Light Hotline presented by Green Beverage. You talk about affecting the quarterback in a good bit. You've got a story about it today, and Alabama, at least on paper, seems to be doing a better job of that early. A couple of sacks, which makes everybody happy, but Coach Saban seems to be fairly happy as well that in addition to the sacks, they're getting some hurries and some pressures that are indeed impacting the opposition about 3 weeks in.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's kind of was easy to tell with the defensive line they had. I was chief among them to kind of assume that the pass rush would be better this year. But it's actually, when you look at it, Ryan Anderson and Xavier Dixon are the two that are getting, particularly Xavier Dixon. He's been really consistent for the first three games. He had three quarterback hurries. He didn't register a sack, but he had three quarterback hurries against Southern Miss. He's tied for the team lead in sacks with two with Ryan Anderson. And so those guys, not very many people were talking about them. On one show I did earlier this year, I thought Xavier Dixon would be my dark horse of the defense because this one I was seeing in practice, he just looked so focused, and he looked kind of like a different player because his numbers were down a little bit in 2013. I think he realized that as a senior, this is his last year. If he wants to make a push to the NFL, he really needs to put some stuff on tape. Probably the most consistent defensive lineman they have, which I didn't really even mention in the article, Chris, is Jonathan Allen. He's just been, you look at that guy and you see an NFL player. He's been very consistent in his pass rush. I've been really impressed with his stamina. He doesn't, voluntarily come out of the game a lot. So there's a lot to like about this defensive line. It's fair to also put into perspective that, these first three games haven't exactly been world beaters, but all you can do is play the schedule in front of you. And through three games, the sack totals are up 133% from 2013.
They go hand in hand, I think. The pressure getting up front, along with the ability to cover a little longer in the secondary. Those two can help make the other, or one can make the other look, a whole lot better. What are you seeing from the secondary, relative to week one? Are they dramatically improved, or is it simply a case of the competition being at a lower level in West Virginia?
I don't know how. I think they have improved, and I think part of that is just, getting the first game jitters out of the way. I still think they have a long way to go. Cyrus Jones, to me, has been the most consistent player other than Landon Collins, he's an entirely different story. I think Landon Collins is the most irreplaceable player on Alabama's team, regardless of offense, defense. He's that important to making that team go. Particularly when you saw him in a dime defense. He's just so versatile. You can bring him to the line of scrimmage. He's a very good blitzer off the edge. He tackles well. And I thought he played in space out in the flats to take away those offensive, kind of flare passes to wide receivers and to running backs in the flats. So he's so versatile. But from a pure quarterback perspective, Cyrus Jones has been very good. Eddie Jackson has been good. We're going to see how banged up his hamstring is this week. They'd love to get Jarek Williams back. Nick Perry, how much they're going to miss him this week, the first half. I thought Geno Smith played pretty well. So they've definitely improved, but they got a long way to go before they play the Ole Misses and the Texas A&Ms of the world.
Given the things you've just talked about, Perry out for a half, the question on the hammy with Eddie, do you anticipate Florida to maybe come out and throw it a little bit more, test that secondary a little bit more early, given those circumstances, than they might otherwise?
Yeah, I definitely think so. If you look at that wide receiver they have, DeMarcus can really play, and he is their Amari Cooper, the engine to that offense, and he's a big mismatch problem. He's a pretty physical wide receiver, so it's going to be very important for Alabama to limit what he does. And, Florida, all these teams now that run that offense are going to script their first 10, 15 plays. And Alabama has proven to have a lot of difficulty, when teams are hitting those plays because it allows them to play that much faster. Alabama can't substitute defensively, and it traps them out on the field in a bad spot. So I absolutely expect Florida to target DeMarcus a lot early in that game to get his confidence going, and two, to see if Alabama has the athletes that can match up with him.
Talking to Aaron Settles of the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. All right, I was on Don Hall's TV show last night, Aaron, Alabama Tonight. The last question he throws at me is steel cage match Nick Saban, Will Muschamp, who comes out alive?
Wow.
I told him, you know, first rule of Fight Club, never talk about Fight Club. these are two intense guys who will flat out get after it, but they are also two guys that have tremendous respect for each other when you hear them talk each week, each year, really.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, Will Muschamp owes a lot of his career to Nick Saban for giving him a chance and to help him grow as a coach and as he went up the coaching ladder. They both have really intense stares. But, you know, Coach Boom, as Coach Muschamp has been named, he's intimidating, man. I think he's got the size advantage on Saban, so in a steel cage death match, I might have to go with Boom. Although, you know, Saban's crafty. You know, he's been around longer. He knows all the tricks of the trade. So maybe the experience edge would make that a fair fight.
I think Muschamp would be cut and done before he even realized it.
Well, maybe that's just certainly a crafty guy. He's been around a while. He knows where your weaknesses are. He'd have Muschamp scouted pretty well.
They'd be a scary tag team. I know that for a fact. Hey, before I let you run, I do want to get your thoughts. To me, the only other game that is extremely appealing this weekend, when you look at the SEC, Mississippi State at LSU. If you didn't do any rankings whatsoever until we kicked the season off, I might have Mississippi State as a top 10 team. In going into Baton Rouge, they will have a chance to jump considerably into the polls and up the ladder if they could find a way to win in Baton Rouge. My question to you is, will they be able to go in there and get it done?
Man, it's such a statement game for Nick Saban, and he's had several of these throughout his career, and he always loses them. I think they've got a very good team. I don't know if they've got enough offensively. I love Dak Prescott, but LSU's defense, no one's talking about, is the top five defense again this year. You know, they've got questions offensively, but man, going into Death Valley, that's a tough place to play. Although I do love Dak Prescott, I don't think he's going to get rattled. I just don't know if they've got enough offensive firepower to stay with LSU in Tiger Stadium for four quarters. But until Dan Mullen wins one of these games, I'm always going to pick the other team.